Can I invite Claudia to come to the front? Give her a welcome, everyone. I'm very excited this morning that Claudia is going to be sharing the word. I remember when Claudia first came to Hope Church, and we've just seen miracle after miracle in her family, including her husband coming to the Lord and her children walking with the Lord. And there's just the fragrance of Jesus that surrounds this wonderful family. Claudia's got a teaching gift that's emerging, and she's had the opportunity recently to preach in a church in March on a more regular basis. She's preached recently also in the Pentecostal church in Corby, and she's very involved with the Every Nations Bible School. It's great to see Elaine Roberts here this morning. And so I'm going to just hand over the mic and pray a quick prayer, and I just pray that you'll open your hearts to receive God's word this morning. Father, thank you for Claudia. We thank you for who she is. Thank you for the gifting that you've given her and what she carries, the grace on her life. And we pray this morning, Lord, as you've given her this message, Father, may she share it with authority and boldness. And Lord, may our hearts be open to receive your word, and may our lives be changed as we sit under the authority of your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you this morning, and I'm quite excited to share this message with you that God placed on my heart about a couple of weeks ago. And Damien asked me a few months ago if I would preach one day, and I was like, I didn't feel ready, but you never do you? So I just said yes, and then this date came up, and God just placed a message on my heart to share with you. And the title of my message, as you can see at the back, is Don't Focus on the Harvest. So I hope you feel a bit intrigued, and as I talk and then as I preach, then hopefully that will start making sense, and if it doesn't, I will tell you at the end what it means, so don't worry. So first I'm going to read some verses from the Bible, and then I'll start my message. So the first reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it's verses from 1 to 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time of war and a time of peace, and a time to gather stones and a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. And then the second reading, sorry, it's a little bit small. I did try to put it in two columns, but it came up like that. So the second reading is from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. That's a little bit bigger. And this is like a conversation that God had with Noah after the flood, and he said the following words to him. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So these are the words from the Bible, and these verses tell me that God works in cycles. He put things in place in nature that work in cycles, so like seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. And then we can think about other ones like water cycle or breathing and things like that. So there are these cycles that have been put in place, and God doesn't really need to interfere with them all the time. He does sometimes, you know, he comes sovereignly and moves in nature and in our lives, but generally speaking, these cycles are in place for our benefit, and they are like cycles of blessing. And there are seasons in our lives, and also seasons that God moves in that we can tune into, and then that's how the blessing comes. So it's like a cycle. When we tune into God, it's like an upward spiral where you get caught in his blessing. And then also in nature, there are cycles of destruction, such as a hurricane or a tornado. They bring destruction, and then we can get caught up in cycles of destruction like addiction or something like that, which brings us down, which is like a downward spiral. And then also there are seasons of sowing and reaping and resting, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. how this affects our lives and what we can do. And I'm going to be using a bit of gardening terminology, so if you are a keen gardener here this morning, you should enjoy it, but I'm not going to be too technical. I'm not going to use loads of Latin words for plants or anything like that. It'll be pretty basic, but hopefully, you know, you can all enjoy it and tune in. So if you are a gardener and have a garden or ever done any gardening, you would know that you have to tune into this cycle of sowing and reaping. And there's one activity that you would do on an ongoing basis, and that is uprooting. So even first when you give your life to Jesus, there is a lot of uprooting that he will do in your life. And then we need to do it on an ongoing basis as well. And just like it says in that verse in Ecclesiastes, that there is a time to pluck what is planted. And that's what I wanted to refer to when I'm talking about uprooting. And just recently, the Jewish people and some Christians celebrated the Passover feast. And Damien talked a little bit about that last week, which is a celebration of the Israeli people being delivered from Egypt, from the slavery into freedom, and also is a feast of deliverance of Jesus delivering us from sin. And if you ever took part in a Passover meal, there is a seder, which means order, and there's a plate where you have different elements on the plate, and one of those elements is a bitterroot, like horseradish or something like that. And that is to remind us about the bitterness that the Israelites experienced in the slavery. But also, it reminds us, Messianic Jews believe that it reminds us of the bitter root that the sin has in our lives, which is deep. And it can only be uprooted by Jesus. And so if we, you know, if you have a garden and you have weeds, you don't just chop them off because they'll just come back stronger. And sometimes we try to deal like that with things in our life. We just, you know, chop it down because it's quicker. Don't deal with the root, and then it just comes back stronger. So if you are not a Christian here this morning and you would like to be set free from the bitterness that you have inside you or anything that's holding you back, then invite Jesus and he will just take that out and he will heal you and bring you to freedom in that. And then we need to do that regularly as well, check our lives and see if there is anything that needs to be uprooted in our garden, which can be sin or something like that that brings destruction. Okay, so that was one thing that we can remove from our life, which is sin. And then the second thing I thought we can remove from my life is like a meaningless behavior, something that doesn't have any meaning or doesn't have any purpose. And that's like if you have a garden and you have some plants in there that are not necessarily weeds, but they're just taking up space, they're not really bearing any fruit. So what's the point of their being there if we could grow something else there or have that ground just resting? But instead, you know, we're just engaged in these activities and they stop us from being fruitful. So yeah, there is a verse there that we can reflect on that says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a headbreadth, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man at this best state is but vapor. So that just shows us how life is just like a vapor and we need to be intentional, and we shouldn't really engage too much in things that don't add value, but just drain us, you know what I mean? So that could be anything. I thought when I first wrote this message and I tried to apply it in my life, and I thought about, for me, that can be like media consumption in the evening. Sometimes I just get engrossed in that, and then when I go to sleep, I don't really rest properly. So something like that, but it can be something much deeper than that. It can be anything. And the third thing that I wanted to mention that God can uproot in our life is he actually uproots his people in order to move them like through a geographical location. And there is a verse that I took from Jeremiah 24, and this is after the Israelites were about to come back from the exile in Babylon, and God was bringing them back to Israel, and he said the following words to them. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place in the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. So that tells me that God can move us geographically, or can move us from a season to a season. But I felt this morning, like when I was waiting to preach, and I thought some of us, probably God wanted to do this in our life, but we resisted it and we overstayed in the old season or in the old location. And I believe that God is telling some of you this morning that I wanted to do that. I wanted to uproot you, but you resisted. And he says it's time. I don't know what it means. It could be anything, but I hope it means something to some of you. So God is saying the time is now. I want to uproot you so you can be in a better location where you can be more fruitful, maybe expand your territory, something like that. And sometimes people stop at uprooting. So they, you know, they have their garden and they just uproot all the weeds, but they don't take it any further. And after we uprooted something, we need to tend the ground and then on the soil, and then we can plant something new or something that we grew before but we haven't grown for a long time, or we neglected and it just died. And you know, when you have a new little plant like that and it grows from a seed, so first it's planted, it dies, and then it takes root, and then it becomes a little baby plant. It takes at least 40 days for it to go from a seed into a little plant. And the number 40 is mentioned in the Bible 146 times. And it generally symbolizes a period of testing, trial, and probation. So it's a really important time where you get tested and where you need like be really consistent with whatever new habit or anything like that. And here are just few examples of what number 40 in the Bible. So Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years, and he spent 40 days and nights on Mount Sinai when they were traveling from Egypt to Israel. He spent 40 days there with God and 40 nights. Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then he was tempted. He appeared to his disciples 40 days after his resurrection on the day of Pentecost, which is coming up soon. And then Noah's flood, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. So 40 days, it's like an important period where you need to be really consistent, and where it's a period of trial and testing. So you need to be really consistent and careful, and be, you know, after that you still need to be careful, but when it's something so tender, you really need to care for it carefully. And you know, we live in a time where we just used to having like instant results. We just want everything instantly, and we can, most of the time we can get it, we can force it so we can have something the next day. Even you know, them contactless credit cards that, or bank cards, they just, the money leaves your account before you know it, doesn't it? And I chose not to have one of those. I asked my bank like not to send me one, that I just wanted the old-fashioned one. I just think they are dangerous and just asking for trouble, so I didn't want one of them. And sometimes when I go to pay, you can see the lady, they just get so impatient because they just expect you just to tap it, you know, and it goes out, but I have to put the numbers. And it's not even that it takes that long, it's maybe 20 seconds longer, but they're already getting frustrated because we're used to just having it like this instant. And that is not how God's kingdom works. Sometimes when you are in a gathering like this, God moves powerfully and he does things like this instantly, and he delivers people. But generally speaking, you can't become a marathon runner overnight, can you? It just doesn't work like that. And also when I was thinking about this, I don't know if any of you remember, a few years ago there was this song, and it was just like really catchy but a bit annoying at the same time. And I don't know exactly when it was around, but I remember I didn't really like it because I didn't really like the lyrics of it. And it goes like this. I'm not going to sing, don't worry, because that's not my gifting. But I'm just going to say the words of it. And it goes like this. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. And I thought about it. And you know, you say that it was possible that you can be put to sleep and you wake up 10 years on. And you know, you are older, but you will not be wiser. I'm telling you now, because it's the process that makes you wiser. And there is value in that. And so we shouldn't resist the process. We should just you know, we should just take part in the process because that is what makes you mature. It's not that you go to sleep and wake up wiser. It just doesn't work like that. So you need to just tune into what God is doing and just let him to do that work so you can become wiser. Ask for wisdom by all means, but it's the process that brings wisdom. So you can't just wake up wiser, maybe older, but not wiser. And then you have some people who age, but they don't get wiser because they resist that. They don't have teachable hearts. So I just pray that we all have teachable hearts and that we can grow wiser, you know, according to our age or even beyond our age. And there is this verse that I think I read it for the first time. Or, you know, sometimes you read the verse and you probably read it before, but it never really jumped at you. But this time, this verse really jumped at me. And that's in Ecclesiastes again, in chapter 11 and verse 4. And it says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." And you know what? That really challenged me. And I thought, how many times do we wait until circumstances are perfect before we start something? You know, before we plant a seed. You cannot wait because there will never be perfect time to start something. So you just have to do it. You just have to start now because you will not only lose the seed, you will lose the harvest as well. So sometimes, you know, there are times when God says, not yet, not yet. But most of the time, it's us who look with our natural eyes. I do that with our natural eyes. And you think, no, I can't do this because in natural, it's impossible. And that is the times when actually God is calling you to step out because he wants you to do it. He wants you to take that step of faith, especially when it looks impossible with your natural eyes. So I hope you feel encouraged. I really felt challenged by that. And I thought, yeah, you know, there's never going to be perfect time. Just do it. Just do it. In spite of everything, do it anyway. And don't put off your sowing until the weather is better. Because it will, especially in England, it's never going to be perfect, is it? So just do it, yeah? So that's my motto. Just do it. I remember first time when we went on the streets to evangelize. And I was so worried. A bit like this morning, maybe worse. And I was just like, God, I don't really want to do this. I was thinking, and then we were in the car and I was looking and I spotted this runner. He was jogging and he has Nike top on and it's just do it. And I thought, yeah, God just told me, just do it, you know. So that's a word for you this morning too. Just do it. So yeah, so sometimes we can plant something new. So that could be something that we never grown before. And then sometimes we can plant something that we have grown before, but we neglected. So that could be something that you can maybe think about in your life that you done before, but you neglected. But maybe God is telling you, come on, and he just wants to stir that gift and wants you to step up in that. And maybe he wants you to take on something new that you never done before. I don't know. And all of us, we have different gardens and we would have different plants that would flourish in our gardens. So like for me, for example, like I mentioned earlier, it would be really pointless for me to take like singing lessons to start singing because it would be frustrating and it would take too much effort. And that time that I would be spending on that could be spent on something that I can do that relates to my gifting and I could accelerate a lot faster. And often what happens with us is that we just want to be involved in everything and we want to do this, do that, do the other. And, you know, I can think about loads of things that I could do okay, but there's only a few things that I think I can do really well, and that's the ones that I want to focus on. And I would encourage you as well, just, you know, just take remove those distractions and don't try to do everything and please everyone. Just take on what God is asking you to do and just focus on those things. Maybe I would say maximum three. I wouldn't encourage you to take on any more than that. But and that's what I've done and that's what I've been trying to do. And and that helps you to have like that filter in your head. Does it relate to my gifting and is it what God's calling me to do? And if not, leave it. Just leave it. And that's what I try to do. And now I'm trying to improve in the giftings that I have instead of just doing this, doing the other. But saying that, there are things that we still have to engage in and do. Like, you know, I have three children, so I have to cook. I still enjoy it. But, you know, there are things like that that you still do. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. And then there are other things in our life that we are already growing in our gardens, but maybe, or cultivating, but we will maybe want to increase our crop. And the main area as Christians that we need to grow in is our relationship with God. And there is a verse in 2 Peter 3:18 that really relates to this. And I read that chapter, and actually it talks a little bit about deception, and then it goes on to say the following words. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you have fallen from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So guys, this is the key. If you're going to neglect everything else in your garden, then you need to do this. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and in grace. And by growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, you will grow in grace as well, because he is the source of grace. And this is like the sunlight in your garden, you know, like the daylight, that's like the water. Because without this, if you don't do that, if you don't cultivate a healthy relationship with God and you don't get to know him, then everything else will go down the pot and you will have no harvest anyway, at least in your Christian walk. And, you know, when Grace Turner was here a couple of weeks ago and she talked about how we can meditate on the names of God. And, you know, that's a great way to get to know Jesus, and then spending that time with him in a secret place and think about him being the Lord of your life. Is he Lord of your life, or is he? Does he have access to all areas of your life? If you think about one of the disciples, Judas, he always called Jesus teacher. That's what he called him. But was he Lord of his life? I don't know, but from the fruit of his life, it doesn't look like he was his Lord, he was his teacher. But do we relate to Jesus as our Lord? And do we let him to be the Lord of our life? So yeah, I would encourage you to really focus on that, growing in the knowledge of Christ and in grace. And as you get to know him and spend that time with him, you will become more tender and you will grow in grace to other people. And he will give you that heart for everyone, and you will not be bitter. So yeah, this is what we need to do. So we need to uproot, then we need to grow or regrow, and then we need to plant or replant, and then last but not least, we need to rest. So in this day and age, some of us can almost feel like guilty about resting, because there is always the next thing we need to chase after, and people put that pressure on you. And you just feel like under pressure that you need to perform and do the next thing. But actually, it's a lot more productive. You will be a lot more productive if you take time to rest. And in ancient Israel, they used to do this thing that every 7 years they would leave the soil to rest. And even some other cultures adopted it. I know in Slovakia, probably here, sometimes farmers just leave a field just to rest. Called fallow ground or fallow land, and that gives time to the ground to regenerate and to become nutritious again. And even God himself, he rested after the creation. It says in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3, if you want to have a look, it says God rested after all he created, he rested. And do you think he was tired, he needed to rest? I don't think he was tired, but I think he just wanted to show us that we need to take Sabbath and we need to rest. And that's the way I understand it, because I don't think God was rest, but he just wanted to remind us of the need of rest. And I read a little bit about the soil that when it doesn't rest, it becomes really deflated and it loses the nutrition, and actually it cannot absorb water as well, it just runs over it. And that's like our lives, when our minds sometimes they just feel by default, you know, we just let all this information to come in our head by default and we don't filter it, and you know, that's not good. We need to feed our minds purposefully with good things, because when we just feed them by default, we just become like overwhelmed, and then we cannot receive anything good that God wants to give us. Like that water that comes, it just runs over because it cannot be absorbed, because we are just so deflated. And if you compare like the harvest or the yield of a field that rested and that has like really earthy and rich soil, and compare it to a field that's been deflated and then artificially fertilized and usurped some more, then there is no comparison. So you might think by being busy that you're going to be, you know, really fruitful, but it's not true. If you don't take time to rest, then you will not be as productive and as fruitful as you hope. I was just actually thinking about this myself last week when I was in the office, and sometimes I just choose just not to leave my desk and just sit there. But then when I do, I physically move and then take a walk or something or sit somewhere in the garden. Then when I come back, I'm a lot more productive. And that is like that with all of us. So I would just encourage you, like, take that time to rest. And some people might say, I don't have time to rest. But if you maybe get rid of some of these previous things that need to be uprooted, like sin and then some useless activities, then you will find time to rest. And God wants you to rest because he created Sabbath for men, not man for Sabbath. So I would encourage you to prioritize your time. And then one last point I wanted to mention was, you know, when you have your own garden and it's doing really well, and then someone comes and they don't have any garden, and you just want to share from your harvest with them. And that is good, you know, you should do that by all means. But how much more better would be if you also show them how to sow a seed, how to cultivate their own garden, and how to give them tools, you know, to do it in their own life. Because if you just keep feeding them of your own produce, they'll become dependent on you instead of dependent on God. And then they will always come to you instead of going to God. So instead of that, why don't you just take that time, show them, it'll take longer, you know, to invest that time, show them how to grow their own crops. And then, you know, you fed them for life then. So, yeah, that's just like a key for discipleship. So going back to the title of my sermon, which was Don't Focus on the Harvest, hope it makes sense now. Because if you do all these things that I mentioned, so if you uproot things that are sinful, not good for you, if you plant things, and then if you grow in the godliness and in the relationship with the Lord Jesus, and then if you rest, then you will experience harvest as a byproduct of your choices. So I put a little sheet in your update. Some of you may have seen it now. And it's got like, it's this. It's got four columns in it, and it says uprooting, planting, growing and cultivating, and resting. And in the growing column, I just put that verse from 2 Peter, just as a reminder. And these are the three columns, and even something like in growing, you can still put other things. Like for me, that would be communication. Like I'm sometimes really bad at getting back to people. Like they send me a message, and I read it, and then I don't get back to them, and and I'm thinking about them sometimes, and I'm happy, but they don't know that, do they? Because I don't get back to them, they just maybe think that I don't care, and I just feel convicted, like I need to get better at that, because these people matter to me. So you can still put something in that column, and then you can put something in the uprooting column, and planting, and resting, and then that will hopefully be like a useful tool for you to live a more fruitful life. And just one more thing, like some of you might think, oh, everything that I'm growing in my garden is so good, but you're actually so worn out that you don't have energy. So maybe you should just focus on growing maybe just like three types of things rather than 25. So yeah, so I hope you find this useful, and you can fill it in when you have time, when you have a pen handy, or when you have your devotional time with God, you can do that then, and he will hopefully give you some ideas. And yeah, I just hope you feel encouraged this morning and that you will find this useful to have a more fruitful life. And then when you come to be with the Lord Jesus one day, that he will tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.
What do you want to say to our dear sister here? Let's say, God bless you, my dear sister Claudia. God bless so much. What a wonderful word. I think one thing that has touched my heart so much is the process that makes us wiser. And I'm sitting down there and just asking my God, help me to enjoy the process. Help me to enjoy, because some of the things, the stuff that we go through, they are not so easy. They can really break you. But in the breaking, God refine us and make us anew. Help me to enjoy the process. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Claudia. God, Richard, bless you. Right. If any part of the sermon has touched you, or anything Claudia has shared with us has had a very great impact on you, and you want to speak to somebody, or you want to discuss it further with anybody, or you're seeking for prayer, the prayer team will be here, and please come and see them or come and talk to either Damien or any of the elders, and they'll be willing to support in whichever way that you need. We've still got some few minutes, about 20, 30 minutes to go. The worship team will be here, so we're going to spend some time worshiping. The prayer team will be here also praying for people and also helping people. So please feel free to come and sit there if you need a prayer.
Thank you so much, Claudia, for that word. That was there were times during that message where I felt like some of the words were coming with a bit of prophetic forcefulness. And there are a few things I just jotted down that I think perhaps were words in season for a few people in the room. And it might be that they passed you by, or actually they landed. And there needs to be a response of some kind to what the Holy Spirit is showing you. So one of the words in particular was that some people here may have stayed too long in a season. They've stayed in the wrong season. And it's time to be uprooted and to respond in obedience to what God's already shown you. So this isn't something new. This is something God already has revealed to you, perhaps. But you've overstayed in the wrong season because you're unwilling to move. So that's a word. Just do it. Some people have just been waiting for the right conditions, but God said to somebody today, I just want you to do it, and you'll know what that is straight away. Also, for some here today, that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2 about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and making him Lord, not just calling him teacher but making him Lord. For some people here today, you know that Jesus isn't Lord of your life. You would call yourself a Christian, but actually you're calling the shots, not him. And today you want to make him Lord of your life and come under his lordship and say, what I think and what I determine for my life comes second to what he says as the Lord of my life. And so it might be that you want to respond to that. And for someone here today, you just need to know that God has given you permission to rest. It's not, you know, I loved what Claudia said, that, you know, we don't have time. We feel like we don't have time to rest. So it's not just that God has given you permission, but resting is actually for you an obedience. And for some people here today, that's a word for you. So we're going to have a time of response. The worship team are going to continue to worship. If none of those things applies to you, just respond just with thanksgiving for the process that he's taking you through to form Christ in you. And for others, if God has spoken to you and you want to respond exactly where you are, it might be even that you call someone who's sitting next to you to pray with you, you can do that. Or you can leave your seat and you can come to where the prayer guys are, and they will love to minister to you and pray with you. Let's worship the Lord together.